Genesis 22, verses 16 and 17. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven, and he said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord." Capital L, capital O-R, indeed. Thus says Jehovah. And then Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, later in chapter 6, verse 13 says, hey, you remember when God did that? For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. This is a rather long way around the horn to let you know who this entity is. He gives us the final clue, I swear by God. Bible says you can't swear by God unless you are God. Who is this here, you guys? Jesus. I get geeked out on stuff like that. I hope you guys don't mind. Verse 7. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, here it comes, the seventh trumpet, after chapter 15, when he was about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. In other words, when all these bowls and trumpets and seals are done, then God's full power and authority has been executed and seen by all. As he declared to his servant, the prophets, these next set of judgments, by the time they're done, everyone, demons, humans, all creation, will know absolutely that Jesus is in complete control. Lord, what does this mean to us? In this setting, the people of earth they're tormented. They're challenged beyond imagination. In the midst of all these horrific and horrendous circumstances, unimaginable disasters, heinous demons wreaking horrible pain and death, humans rejecting over and over God's provision for salvation, and hell, the climate, the literal climate of hell is all over the surface of the earth. Here's what Revelation 10 is saying to us all. Never forget who has ultimate and complete authority over it all, everybody. God does. No matter what the thunderous voices of opposition are screaming. Does that help anybody here in the room today? Verse 8. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. Write Malachi chapter 3. I don't know that this is the book that Malachi talks about. It sure seems that it could fit given the climate of what's going on. And if it is the book of remembrance, who is in the book of remembrance? All of us. He never forgets. Verse 9. So I went to the angel and said to him, can I have the little book? And he said to me, take it and then eat it. Okay. When you eat it, it'll make your stomach bitter, but will be sweet as honey in your mouth. Sweet and sour? That must be a Chinese book. The Bible is always its best explainer. Write Psalm 119, verse 103. Another book is eaten, sweet to the taste and bitter to the tummy. That is the Word of God. What's the sweetness? The sweetness is knowing God's heart. What's the bitterness? Knowing that there are people who don't do God's will and difficult things face them. Then also write Ezekiel chapters 2 and 3. In that section, you see another book that is eaten. It is sweet at first and then sour in the tummy. And we know that that is a book of prophecy concerning Israel. Put it all together. What's with the sweet and the sour? What is this little book? The book eaten, consumed, digested is the Word of God and prophecy. The book of Revelation fits within both of those categories. This book of Revelation, like all prophecy, there is the sweetness of knowing God's will is getting done. God's righteousness is triumphing over evil. And all that was lost to sin is now being restored. Yay! And the bitter. The unsettling truth of unbelieving loved ones who just will not respond to God's heart. No matter what God does to shake all the excuses of their unrepentant soul, those stubbornly clutching their idols, as we saw last time, even to their own death, they are lost. That's the bitter side. God himself is greatly grieved at the death of all those who die. Because we are made in God's image, then we too are going to grieve. That's the bitter side of it. This is what the study of prophecy does. It's sweet, wee, but it is also a little unsettling. Verse 10. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it. And it was gluten-free and all was good. And it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. Verse 11. And he said to me, "Now, John, you must prophesy again. You must keep prophesying." What is prophecy? Remember, it's the foretelling of God's word. History written in advance, like we're seeing here. In the New Testament case, prophecy is the forthtelling of God's word as well. Anytime we talk about God's word to anyone, we are prophesying of sorts. John, you've got to keep prophesying. I know that it is difficult to watch because we are in seal number 7. We have seen up to trumpet number 6. By the time we get to trumpet 7 and the 7 bowl judgments, I know there's a part that's going, "Lord, there's so much judgment. It's hard to watch." God says, "I know, but remember, I'm the one who has my foot on the sea and my foot on the land. I am in control. And don't forget, I've got this book." Is it the book of remembrance, promising to take care of the faithful? Is it the book of Revelation or prophecy in general? John, I know that it is difficult. The book of Revelation is difficult at times to read. But you got to keep preaching it, John. You've got to keep telling people about this amazing God who did everything he could within his power to rescue us from sin, to break the power of sin, and still people turn their hearts and turn their heads from this God, knocking on the door of their hearts every day, practically, of their lives. I know that it's tough to watch, but don't give up prophecy. Don't give up this word and message that if you don't receive Jesus by the time you die, in eternity, it will not be an academic exercise at that point. It will not be a philosophical stance. You will be standing in the presence of a holy God without your salvation that he purchased by his own blood. That is a horrible day for many. And God is saying, if we know his word, if we have experienced this getting free from the power of sin, why aren't we continuing to prophesy again and again and again and again? You must prophesy again. Well, who? About many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. This includes the great city of Fernley. All the places. This includes your cubicle. This includes the gym that you go to. This includes your family. This is everybody. Don't stop talking about prophecy. I like coming in here and learning about prophecy. That's the sweet part. It's wonderful. It's curious. It's invigorating. It's intellectually stimulating. Yeah, that's the good part. Now, go out there and tell others about it. Well, that's the hard part. That's the bitter part, if you will. Harvest Family Fellowship, we must never be silent that we hold within our knowledge the antidote for sin and ultimate and eternal death and separation. Three ideas. Number one, even though the devil is on the prowl, Jesus is on the throne. That's true in your world today, including this world. Number two, even though demons seem scary, they are scared of Jesus. Don't ever forget that. Some of you in this room have had a particularly difficult upbringing in life, and some of you have really had to survive some pretty awful stuff. There's a temptation in the culture and in this broken industry of psychiatry and psychology and stuff. They have told you, you know, you're just going to probably have to limp along until, well, whatever. Can I say with great respect, no. Eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, he has 6,000 demons. So completely consuming the man's personality is this horde of demons that they literally speak right through him, use his own tongue and lips. He has supernatural strength. People try to restrain him from hurting himself and cutting himself. Then he just breaks the chains. He's a man of the tombs. God says to the disciples, we've got to go to the other side. And he stays on the land and they rowed. And they encounter this great storm. And Jesus comes walking out on the water. He comes aboard the boat and then he rebukes the wind. What's with the rebuke? Because the wind and that storm that tried to sink those disciples, that is probably demonically inspired. Why? Because there's a man with 6,000 demons. And they know who's coming across the lake. So they send this great storm to the disciples. Eek, they say, they fold. Jesus comes walking on the water, you know, because there's waves like this. Shalom. Jesus, I know what's going on here. Book of Revelation chapter 10. I stand on the waters. You demonic horde whipping this atmospheric condition, stop! And it did. And the disciples, could you lift us a little breath of wind? Because we've got to row the rest of the way. It's just... The man came to Jesus. No, you can't come to Jesus. My mind is so whatever. My aholism is so pronounced. I'm so sick genetically, sociologically, relationally. I'm paralyzed. There's nothing that I can do. Oh, really? This man had 6,000 demons. He had enough, just enough, to recognize who was standing in front of him. You know the story. You remember what the demon said? It's not time for the abuso yet. When Jesus returns to the surface of the earth, he throws a chain and a rope around every single demon and he incarcerates them for 1,000 years. The demons know that. Don't send us into the abuso. That's what they're saying. It's not time yet. You're early. Then Jesus said, okay. And you remember what he does? He sends them into the pigs. Now, time out. What are Jewish people raising pigs for in the first place? They were raising it for the industry of the people of that region. So he sends them into the pigs, and then you have the first case of deviled ham in the Bible right there. Demons might seem scary, but please remember, they are frightened out of their gourd at the presence of he who made them, Jesus. Number three, Jesus has all things under his feet. Even darkness is under his feet. Have you ever felt a little dark season in your soul? We're done with Revelation 10. Join me in 2 Kings chapter 6. We can't leave this section of Scripture without going here. Real quickly, 2 Kings chapter 6. Look down to verse number 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, okay, my camp will be here, or such and such, and such and such. Verse 9. And the man of God, at this point, his name is Elisha. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, uh-oh, look out, beware that you do not pass by this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Thanks. God's prophet, Elisha, knew the plans, the military plans. Let's go hide here, and when the Israelis come by, we'll jump out and say, boogada. Elijah calls up the king. Hey, king, don't go by that place, because you got Syrians there. Cool. Verse 10. Then the king of Israel sent to someone to the place of which the man of God had told him, and thus he warned him, and he was watchful, and not just once or twice. Verse 11. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. I guess so. And he called his servants and said to them, all right, all right. Will you not show me which one of you is a traitor working for Israel? Verse 12. And one of the servants said, none, my lord. O king, but this guy Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak even in your own bedroom. Fascinating to me that these guys know about Elisha. Verse 13. So he said, all right, all right. Go and see where this Elisha is, that I may send to get him. And it was told him, saying, well, he's in Dothan. You know what Dothan means, you guys? It means two wells. Elijah was in front of Elisha. Elijah says, follow me. And Elisha left everything that he had. So Elijah says, why are you hanging so close? And Elisha says, because I want a double portion of what your anointing was. Cataloged in the scriptures, Elisha does twice the miracles. Dothan means two wells. Keep your Jesus glasses on. You go to the well in the morning, which is the word of God, where there is wisdom and the spirit of God present. Sometimes you got to go to the well again. So he goes to Dothan, two wells. Verse 14. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army. And they came by night and surrounded the city. Ooh, are they going to freak out when the light comes up and they see all of us going, you're dead. I'm watching you. Verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God, not Elisha, but his servant, he rose early and went out. Uh-oh, there was the army surrounding the city. Look at them. They got horses and chariots. These are the most sophisticated weapons of war at this time. Very scary stuff. And the servant said to Elisha, alas, my master, what are we going to do? Rule number one, verse 16. Do not fear. Elisha, I don't know if you're looking at what I'm looking at, but that looks really scary. Elisha, verse 16, answers, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. I imagine the servant went, wait a minute. All I can see is this vast army, these guys glinting armor and snorting horses. And chariots bristling with armament and spears, and their very razor sharp points glinting in the sun. This is very discouraging stuff. Elisha says, don't worry, because those that are with us are greater than those that are with him. Verse 17. Then Elijah prayed and he said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. What did he see? And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Who had who surrounded? Amen. Amen? Let's all stand together. Revelation chapter 10 is saying, I know that the study of God's righteousness and his judgments are tough. They're sweet like Revelation often is. The intellectual stimulation. Oh, God's word is amazing. Watching the headlines tell us what the book of Revelation and other prophetic books have told us hundreds and thousands of years before. But at the same time, there's a bit of a bitterness. There's a bit of a, oh Lord, what about those who don't know? That's where we come in, you guys. We have to digest this book. And even though there is a bit of bitterness, don't stop prophesying. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you show us in Revelation 10. John, I know this is difficult to watch, but let me show you who I am. I'm standing on the sea and on the land. I've got it all under control. My voice is like a lion. Pay no attention to those seven thundering voices of opposition. Keep your eyes on me and keep prophesying. Everybody's head down, everybody's eyes closed. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you have not given him your heart, you are wide open to all of this demonic attack and fear. You need to come into God's army, God's body. You need salvation, that you too can be written in the Lamb's book of life, or perhaps this book of remembrance we see in Malachi, or you have little or no protection without his moving in your life. Christians, pray. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, why in heaven's name don't you? You are wagering your eternal salvation, your eternal life, that I'm wrong when I have all of these mountain of fulfilled Bible prophecies to speak from. The very fact that there is a nation of Israel now on the planet should rattle you to the core, because God's word prophesied it would happen. And in Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was born, prophesied that Israel would become a nation in one day. May 14th, 1948. If there is an Israel on the planet, you really need to tune in to this. You need to receive Jesus' finished work on the cross. With your brain, I get it. A substitutionary innocent death for all of my sin. That's the easy part. Here's the hard part. You have to, with your will, give your life to him. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I don't want to have to go through the great tribulation. And when I see you, Lord, I want to be in Christ. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit today, right now. If that was you this morning, I want you to lift your hand up. I want you to say, that was me today. I have given my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. God bless you. God bless you. For the rest of us, help us to remember what Revelation 10 says, what Jesus says to John. Don't stop studying prophecy, teaching prophecy, living prophecy. A whole lot of people in your life need to hear it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.